Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the Elevated Places Network presents A Time for Justice. A Time for Justice is a show that discusses legal and current events in a roundtable discussions of legal minds. We discuss this country's centuries-long failure to apply, uphold, and enforce the laws, and the overall failure of the legal system to give justice, and the negative impacts these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want fair dealing, we want justice under the law, but all too often, this is not the actions that we see. Our guests tonight will not make those excuses. Actually, our guests tonight aren't making any excuses because we're looking at solutions. Because we know that economic empowerment is a real solution that will make us independent so we don't have to deal with the racist conduct that is often seen, which are really just distractions from the truth. And we know the truth is the path to justice and equal protection. So let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions which are in the best interest of the people. Let's remove the distractions. My name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am your host. Tonight's show, we are talking about business. We're talking about aspects of building and developing independent businesses. So that's why I say our panelists tonight, they don't have to make excuses, because when you're running your own businesses, and Sister On, who's going to talk to us about helping people build businesses, then you don't really get distracted, because a lot of times we're working really, really hard building businesses. So again, tonight's topic is aspects of building and developing independent businesses, and I am your host, Sister Pamela Muhammad, on A Time for Justice. And we have with us tonight, as always, our sister who is our co-host on A Time for Justice. That is Sister Judge Nichelle Muhammad. And our sister, Judge Nichelle Muhammad, is out of Mount Vernon, New York. She is a beautiful sister, and I want to go ahead and open up her mic, Sister Judge Nichelle. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Pamela, and ma'am, that's money earning Mount Vernon, which is the proper title for this evening's talk about business and building for ourselves. But all praise is due to Allah. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there's only one God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. And I greet all of our friends and family and believers with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam to you, sister, and thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and bring on our guests. Again, the topic is aspects of building and developing independent businesses, and I know that we have a brother on. I believe if he's in the queue, please raise your hand, Brother Louis Ali. When we talk about building businesses and the new Black Wall Street and other developments, this brother is a very dynamic speaker as well as a business owner. So let me go ahead and open up Brother Louis Ali's mic. Brother Louis, let me just read a little bit about you. Brother Louis is a business owner. He's a community activist and speaker. Brother Louis attended Southern University. Brother Louis is a business owner, former talk show host himself. And Brother Louis loves to give credit and thanks to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the greatest influence on his life. He's a father. He's a husband. And really, he's going to talk to us about some of this business model, Black Wall Street market, as well as some of his other areas of expertise as a business owner and a hard-working brother. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Louis. Brother Louis, are you there?
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Pamela Muhammad and Sister Judge Michelle Muhammad, and thank you and thank the Elevation Places Network and Dr. Ava Muhammad and all that y'all do to put up the cultural collateral for us to have this type of movement going on around the country. Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And I could not miss saying about talking about your Hot Black Coffee Party think tank. And that's very important because I think one of the things that Brother Louis, as an activist, and he really believes that business owners have to be very proactive. And I think you used the word, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that, Brother Louis, but you said black business owners have to also be somewhat political in their ability to push the black agenda a lot of times, or at least their place in the black agenda, you know, as black business owners. So I want to go ahead and bring on our next guest. And you know what? We have a beautiful, beautiful opportunity today because this week's final call, I believe the front cover talks about the Joshua generation and passing the torch and preparing future generations for leadership. And we have a sister on tonight who is a business owner. And she is a younger sister. Her name is Sister Saraja Muhammad. And Sister Saraja is a 24-year-old mother of three, and she owns a company called LittleHerbs.co, and it's a herbal cosmetics business. So this is the young leadership and innovation and energy and just wonderful business entrepreneur that we're talking about in the final call. And so I just feel so blessed. I want to go ahead and open up her mic and welcome her to our show. Sister Saraja.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am, and welcome to the Elevated Places Network and A Time
Thank
for
you.
Justice. Thank you so much for taking your time to come on. And we have one more visitor, one more special guest, and I believe her mic, if she would press the number one so I can open up her mic. I want to make sure she's definitely with us, and yes, she is. And this sister, let me go ahead and introduce her. Her name is Sister Charlene A. Nixon. Miss Charlene A. Nixon. And Miss Nixon, she says that she brings over 25 years of business and networking leadership experience across multiple industries and scales of business. She's a senior executive. She had the opportunity to work alongside thought leaders. She went on to say, she talks to us about how she was born on the island of Trinidad, and she's an immigrant to the United States. Our sister is the current president and CEO of the Westchester County Chamber, and I'm sorry, it's actually CXO. She is the president and CXO of the Westchester County Chamber, and I want to give her the greetings. How are you, ma'am?
I am fine, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for creating this opportunity. But I have one adjustment to make. It's the Westchester Multicultural Chamber, not the Westchester Chamber. It's the Multicultural Chamber.
Oh, thank you so much. And I apologize for making that error, Ms. Nixon, the Multicultural Chamber. And I want to give a shout-out right now to our sister Judge Nichelle Muhammad, because Sister Nichelle is, you know, as always, bringing such beautiful guests to the table. And she invited our sister Charlene Nixon, as well as our other producer, Sister Tiffany Muhammad. I want to thank her because she is responsible for our sister Sharaja Muhammad. And so I'm just so excited. So let's get right into the questions. So tonight, again, we're talking about businesses and aspects of building businesses and independent businesses. So I'm going to start off with the question of what type of business are you in? What type of business are you in? Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your business. Who wants to go first? Brother Lewis, you want to go first?
That's fine. Yes, ma'am. I have a infrastructure business where I build streets and roads and do all types of horizontal construction, from building retaining walls, ponds, clearing and grubbing. We put in sewer systems, water systems, and just anything dealing with infrastructure. I have that. We also have a small little fruit stand, vegetable stand, which really my sons operate that. And they just recently gave a soft opening of a ATV park where you can come and ride your four-wheelers or rent one from us. We'll have our grand opening sometime in October, but those are some of the businesses that I run.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And Sister Sharaja, talk to us about your business. Sister Sharaja.
Okay. So I have a cosmetics business, and we sell hair care, body care, skin care products, and everything is infused with some sort of herb. So that's the little spin on my business versus other businesses. We actually infuse the herbs in it to make it a bit more potent, which then helps with problematic skin and different skin diseases and things of that nature. So we're a cosmetics business. We just hit our two-year mark a few days ago, and yeah.
That's beautiful.
Praise be to Allah.
Beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Well, beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. And Ms. Nixon, talk to us about what you do. How it relates to, I guess, business owners and independent business owners.
Well, I'll start by saying, one, I am the founder of this organization, and this organization,
wow.
We gave birth to this organization in 2020 or 2021, early 2021. And I gave birth to it through lived experience. There was the need for something that supported the diverse population of Westchester business owners. And it's designed, we've positioned ourselves as a new foundation for growth, equity, and fairness in Westchester. We offer programs and events, special initiatives designed to provide immediate support for entrepreneurs and small business owners. We support the human infrastructure of the community, and we do so being very targeted with our approach by leveling the playing field for our diverse community. It is because it is a critical step in increasing an atmosphere of inclusion Okay, our goal is to educate entrepreneurs, future entrepreneurs, and small business owners on the art of networking. Our mission is economic equity and equality through multiculturalism. Our vision, we envision that the disparity between privilege and poverty in Westchester will no longer impede success, that there will be an equal opportunity for all so that everyone can make a positive contribution to our community and fuel generational wealth. So that's sort of in a nutshell of what we do, but all our programs are built on a platform of education, because there are three reasons that business fails, small business fail: money, marketing, and management. And all our platforms, all our programs, our panels provide information in small bite-sized digestible pieces, so that, and not just digestible, but actionable pieces, so that it can immediately create a positive effect on the business owner. And I can go on and on and on and on.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Because
yes, ma'am.
We're going to talk more and more about it, because, you know, our show tonight, some of the issues we want to talk about, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan encourages us in the Final Call, which is a national publication. So he talks about policies for empowerment, the struggle for an economic, for a new economic order. And one of the things that we really want to focus on is his words, in that you have the ability, you have the capability to do something for yourself. And some of the issues that you brought out, though, are sometimes small businesses do fail. And one of the reasons sometimes is not working smart, not having the education. So we want to talk about ways to work smart. We want to talk about success. You know, we know that we're living now in a pandemic, post-pandemic economy, where there is so much changing. We got these virtual offices. You know, we've got so many businesses that have closed down. But with those challenges, there is so many opportunities, especially for Black people. I was so pleased today to see that they say homeschooling is growing, because some Black people have seen, hey, this is a good idea. You know, I can work with my child at home, because they had to do it in the pandemic. So now we're looking again at providing value to each other, earning, because we don't want to be dependent on someone else's agenda, right? So those are some of the things that I think we have to talk about. And, you know, my next question is, why doing business for self increases your options for success as a person, you know, as a family, as a community? Anybody want to kind of just jump in on that, and, you know, we can just start this conversation?
Okay, yeah. I'll go if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
Okay, I think one of the things that we need, I will just repeat or reiterate, is small businesses fail money, marketing, management, okay? And there are some facts that support why Black-owned businesses fail. Even before the pandemic, 8 out of every 10 Black businesses failed within the first 18 months. And then 58% of Black business owners describe the health of their business as at risk or distressed. Now, the number one reason for that, and yes, it gives you a sense of self and stuff like that, but we want to focus on building a network. It is so important for us when we're starting a business to build a network, a sustainable network that will provide for us the tools, the knowledge, the experience that we may be lacking. It is very important for us within that network to establish a contact sphere. And a contact sphere is a group of symbiotic professionals who have a good opportunity to provide referrals to each other, and within that same networking, a power team, individuals who will actively commit to generating business for each other. So yes, being an entrepreneur, being self-employed, give you a lot of flexibility, but it also creates a lot of responsibility. And since marketing is one of the reasons why small businesses tend to fail, it is important to understand networking is the marketing of one's self. So networking is key. It is the key to the success of business, our business. Build our businesses within our communities. Grow our businesses within our communities. Use the people within our communities by providing jobs, therefore keeping the dollars recirculating within the community instead of taking it outside of the community into the larger population. We have the power to build networks, sustainable business networks within our community, and we need to teach our business professionals how to do that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Lewis, did you want to add or, you know, have some perspective on this particular conversation? Because let me say this, I love networking. And when I saw that in your bio, Ms. Nixon, I thought, well, that's such an important area because, you know, one of the things we want to talk about is collaboration. You know, we want to talk about being united. You know, we want to talk about, as you say, you know, promoting yourself, you know, joining in unity. And that's so very important because as an individual, you really can't really work as well by yourself. You can only get so much done. So some of the models, I know Brother Lewis with the Black Wall Street initiatives and bringing some of the black businesses. You all were traveling along with Sister Minister Ava Muhammad. You traveled. I know you talked about black business networks historically and how important those networks are to bring back. So, Brother Lewis, go ahead and give us some of your wisdom, please. Yep. And I don't know, perhaps. But let's keep going on then, because
can you hear
you
me?
I can hear you now. Yes, sir, brother.
Okay.
Yes,
I was talking
yes.
away. I'm sorry.
No,
thank
no,
you.
No.
I want to start
thank
with
you.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's article, where he talks about policies for empowerment, the struggle for a new economic order. Now, it's very important for the sake of this dialogue that we understand that we don't want just a plantation extended business, and that historically, black businesses thrived more under so-called segregation than it has under the so-called system of integration, even though I'm not an advocate for segregation, but these are systems. We have to start our business and creating a new order by admitting that the system of integration has failed because it is a sin. And we're going to have to repent and atone to Mr. Muhammad and those ancestors that came before us that told us that that's not the best way to do business. Now, it's important for us to know that at one point in this country, we own up to 21 million acres of land. Land is the basis for freedom. And Minister Farrakhan points that out in the article because we were very land literate. Because we were so land literate, we wanted the 40 acres and the mule. And there are three components of economics that we ignore, but we need to pay closer attention to. Number one, of course, is land. Number two is labor or military. And number three, which everybody seems to pay a lot of attention to, is cash. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did say that practicality perfects theory. And so we have a lot of theories about business, but until we are actually given a land and a territory to exercise our right to do something for self in a practical application manner, we just won't be successful. And we don't even want to waste any time thinking. In order for our people to recycle the black dollar, in this climate, they have to first be given an identity, and that's the reason why if you take notice to when Dr. Ava and others were just traveling the country asking the question, how has integration affected black businesses? Should blacks consider separation? And then finally saying blacks must consider separation. Over the last 3 years, black people have bought more land and real estate than they had in 40 years under integration. Now, how do we, what do we do about that? We have to get the young black boys into land literacy and becoming industrious, following more of the Booker T. Washington style of teaching. And that's what we're doing here in Baton Rouge. We had a group of young people the whole summer. We were teaching them skilled trades. The Mexicans that come across this border, or the Spanish people, they don't have a so-called great education with a lot of degrees. They use the muscle or the labor force in order to get extract dollars out of our community and any other community that they can get something from, using cultural collateral. So I know we're going to get into models lately, and I'm going to say this in closing. We have got to start looking at, and this is the new Black Wall Street market in Stonecrest, Georgia, and the one that we're currently building here in Baton Rouge. We have to look beyond just building a little mom-and-pop business, because the average black business only has one employee. And we have to get very, very serious about the minister's talk of these nine ministries and actually building a system for ourselves, because the white survivalist system, which they call white supremacy, but it's really a white survivalist system, is unraveling and is dying. But our larger concern should be, how do we create our own system? So when you go to the new Black Wall Street market in Stonecrest, Georgia, Mr. Bill Allen, he's not setting up just a business. It's a system with interconnected businesses that's sort of built after the beehive model. And I don't want to overtalk everyone, so I'm going to stop there, but that's some of my thinking.
Can I interject here?
Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I understand what the brother is saying, and respect what he's saying, and I agree with most of what he is saying. But I think in order for us to be able to purchase land or purchase anything, we need the cash, right? We need cash flow. So there's a lot of education that has to happen before we can purchase anything, because we can pour a lot of cash into business, and if we don't have the right tools to market that and manage that money, we'll end up in the same place. Now, we start a business, and yes, most black businesses have one employee. Now, how do we change that? We change that by introducing that entrepreneur to his symbiotic partners. Let's say, for example, I'll give a quick example here of a couple getting married. Okay, now this one couple will need a caterer, a florist, a photographer, a videographer, a hairstylist, a makeup artist, a travel agent, and more. Okay, now if all of those people, if we were supposed to put all of those people in one room where they can build a relationship, they will be passing each other business all of the time. Okay, because that's a symbiotic group. So when we talk about, you know, celebrating our business and supporting our business, it's more than saying we need to do this. It's how do we need to do this? We need to build that contact sphere for each of our businesses within our community, have them understand what that means to their success, their longevity, to wealth, and their generational wealth.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. And this conversation is just so broad, and, you know, we got some narrow issues. We have some broad issues. I know Sister Siraj, you know, you may want to come in, and please feel free. You know, but I think as I'm listening too, integration is an issue. But one of the beautiful things, as the minister is saying, you know, he said we have wonderful political progress in one sense, but politics without economics is symbol without substance. So I do understand what the sister's saying about our need to earn money. And the beautiful thing about some of these young entrepreneurs and some of these business models is that we can sell to whoever.
you know, we're black business owners, and we can sell to the whole world. You know, we see that in music and entertainment. Everybody buys black music. Everybody will buy a product, potentially by a black person, if it's something that they want. I think as I'm hearing Brother Lewis speak on some of those models, I think as we create communities that we have customers, we're creating, as the sister says, symbiotic, because we live by each other and we service our own needs, and we recognize that there is a need to do that for us to be independent. So that's just my thought. I'm just putting it back out there. So Sister Saraja, did you want to add any perspective?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, okay. I really loved what everyone said, and this is why this call is so important, because there's so many different perspectives, and I love that. So basically what I wanted to say is just from a viewpoint of being an entrepreneur. So I started my business when I was 22, and I had no intentions on my business blowing up the way it did. It was just something to do. And I just wanted to contribute to my household at the time. It was the beginning of the pandemic. You know, everything was shut down, and I'm just like, well, how can I put a product out there that's positive? Because, you know, everyone's health was compromised. And I sat and watched my grandparents and my loved ones, you know, get sick or fear of getting sick. So I started to, you know, sell natural products, vitamins, things like that. And where I'm going with this is basically, like, it's important to know the things that hold us back and know the reasons that, you know, our community is not flourishing the way that it maybe was years ago, or, you know. But it's also important to kind of study the things that we can do to have and to grow businesses. And so that's kind of what I did. And so one thing that I did was I started to really study the media and what other businesses that were, you know, much bigger than me, like what they were doing and how they were actually obtaining sales and clientele and, you know, these relationships and things like that. And I just kind of studied, and I'm just YouTube videos and just literally watching. And I noticed that there's just a really big psychology to people in this new generation and the internet and stuff like that. And people really buy stuff off the internet, and that's not something that I really understood until I did it. And so I think that with starting that and having a business is just, I'm an icon for so many different people that's my age. I know so many people that have started a business simply off of, you know, certain things that I've done and my success and, you know, kind of like how I did it. And so now being in a position and having about, you know, 40 to 50 employees and mass producing products and things like that.
Beautiful.
Was someone trying to say something? Oh, okay. And, you know, things like that. Could you reiterate the question? Because I really don't want to go in a whole different direction.
No, you're doing,
I feel like
yes,
about
no, you're so right.
Doing
no,
excellent.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
No, ma'am, excellent. Go ahead. Finish your line of thought. Beautiful.
Okay, yes, ma'am. So just being in a position, you know, and accomplishing some of the things that I've accomplished, I feel like my viewpoint is more so we have to sit back and kind of study how we can have and how we can maneuver with what we have to deal with. So, yes, you know, integration and all this other stuff has happened, and now it's harder, and, you know, some black businesses have one employee, but I try to be that change. You know, because starting my business, I did everything by myself. I'm like, okay, I'm the accountant, I'm the CEO, I'm the founder, I'm the photographer, I'm this, I'm that. I did everything by myself, and
that's right.
I have to step back, you know, And, you know, now my family, my whole entire family, you know, and friends and everything and believers, and I have so many employees and so many help in it, and we've created a community and where everybody plays their role, and that's really important. And I feel like, you know, as black people, we want to do everything ourselves, and we want to be self-made and all this other stuff, and that's the stigma that we're under due to our oppressors and due to, you know, all the other stuff. But when we actually come together and everybody is playing their role, and it's not like, you know, I want to do everything, or, you know, the ego is kind of shattered a little bit. Once you can shatter your ego a little bit, you can really make room to have something great, because a lot of businesses around me, they blow up really big and then they usually collapse. And it's because of the reasons that, you know, our brother and our sister just spoke about, is there's one employee, like, there's no structure. There's no proper management. There's no proper networking. And so I'm constantly trying to be that change, and I try to conduct my business in a way that's proper, so that, you know, I can inspire other people to start businesses and to want to have help, because it's a positive thing. There's nothing, you know, fancy about doing everything by yourself and being super stressed, because if you're doing everything by yourself, there's an area that is lacking. So, you know,
right.
I was trying to run customer service and everything. This area of my business was going down. When I was focusing on marketing for sales, my customer service started to kind of, you know, wasn't the best. And so just bringing in everybody and having this operation, having the structure in my business and having the financial structure and the, you know, everything is just so organized. It really makes a difference. So it's not just a mom and pop business anymore. You know, it's a corporation that is going to keep working, that's going to keep going, because, you know, we're following a structure. And so,
yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. That's right.
But
you can talk
so
on that.
Beautiful,
it's a
beautiful.
Big subject.
Yeah.
You're going through a lot. Praise God.
And again, that's what we're listening to, as the Final Call article says, passing the torch and preparing future generations for leadership.
That's right.
So that was so, so beautiful, sister. And we look forward to seeing you have longevity.
Definitely.
And inspire your peers. And one of the things the article talks about, too, is as we are, who are little elders, we have some thoughts on what we experience in the sense of integration. You know, we have to be honest and think about how there was once upon a time, because of integration, nobody wanted to patronize black businesses. And black businesses shut down. I was one of those children. I was actually born in a corner store. My parents had that. But, you know, they closed because everything went away from supporting us as black businesses. And we gave up some of it on ourselves. So we're at a time now. We've returned. We have to survive in business for ourselves and be independent.
That's right.
And I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic. We have an attorney on the line. And as we kept hearing about proper structures and, you know, because we're talking about smart business. That's how we want to talk about how we can build and develop and all of that. So let me go ahead and open up the line for our Brother Colin Muhammad, who is going to give us a couple of words. Brother Colin Muhammad, he's an attorney. Brother Colin?
Yes, ma'am. Salaam alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Assalamu alaikum to all the members of the panel this evening. Sis, you know, this is a great conversation. You know, you and I in the past have discussed business. And there's so many things that have been said, and there's two very important points that I just want to raise. I don't think I've heard, and maybe it was said, but I would just like to reiterate them, right? The first point is, when you're going in business, you got to know where your walk-away point is at. You just can't be in business and go for everything. of course you can adjust, you can improvise, you can, as things change, you change your business plan, but then you got to know where that walkaway point is. You got to know that if you're trying to do a deal, when the deal just isn't good for you, you know, you can't go in with the mindset, it's deal or bust, right? I got to get the deal at any cost. You got to say to yourself, there's certain terms that if I don't get that term, I'm not going to do the deal. And if that deal means that this business is not going to succeed, then that business is not going to succeed. You close that business down and start a new one. But you got to have some kind of principle and integrity in business, whereas you just don't do a deal with the devil just to be successful. Right? That's point one. The second point is I heard this inspirational speaker a long time ago. His name is Bill Phillips. He said if you're going to fail, fail fast. If you're going to fail, fail fast. You don't put bad money, good money after bad money. If your business plan is not successful and it's not working, and you try so many things to make it work and it's just not working, then it may be time that you close down that business or create a new business plan and move on to something else. But so many people in business and relationships, they try, and they know it's not working. But they just keep putting in. And then when it's too late and hundreds of thousands of dollars are spent, you don't waste something on a bad business. So as a business person, you have to be honest with yourself. Because when we have our own business, so much emotion is tied into that. You know, it's our baby. It's our business. And sometimes we don't see things with a clear vision. You know, we don't see it as business people. We see it as our personal achievement. And sometimes we have to learn how to separate it or have people around us that will speak straight words to us and say, I'm just saying, you know, this is not working. This is not. And then we have to be able to listen to those people. So I just wanted to add those 2 points, Queen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Colin. Excellent attorney out of state of New York. And thank you so much for your words. And I know, Brother Lewis, you wanted to add something to the conversation as well. Go right ahead, sir.
I think this is a powerful dialogue, you know. One of the mistakes that we sometimes make is that we don't realize that business is warfare. And the minister highlighted this to us. We actually have an enemy. And when we approach business as a people, everybody else is approaching business as a territorial group. And that's the reason why you have Chinatown and you also have China. You have Greek Town and you also have Greece. You have Little Havana. And I don't think a lot of times we put enough emphasis on how our black business districts were destroyed by this system called integration. We're social beings, so we're going to be together at some point, even though COVID came. We need black business districts, which were systems, to be rebuilt. Our young people don't know this, Sister Pam, but prior to integration, the black American economy was the fastest growing economy in the world because according to Sinclair Weeks, who was the Secretary of Commerce during the 1950s, and they decided because their economy was dying. We had the Negro baseball leagues. We had all bebop, jazz. Even white people were coming down to the black business districts. They decided that they would make public policies, and they decided it in California at Berkeley and Stanford and also in Tennessee with that Hollander group, that they needed to save the American white economy. In order to do that, they destroyed the black American economy through urban renewal. We, at one point in this country, were told if we accepted Christianity, we would be all right. We were told that if we got politics, we would be all right. We were told that if we got education, we would be all right. But what the minister is talking about is a new type of education, a new educational paradigm that makes us produce something for ourselves first and then sell the surplus. Our communities are in shambles, and then this is the last point that I think I need to make. Often people who own businesses are separated from people who are social or community activists. They're also not exactly connected to political activists. These are three, this is like the trinity of power in our community. And what winds up happening is the white warfare business owners on the other side of town get some coon or some step and fetch it to run for office or to become a social activist and protest or do something that closes all of our businesses down, drains all of our economics, destroys the original business, which is between the black man and the black woman because marriage is a business, and we fall out like we've fallen out over these years. And this is the importance of Dr. Ava Muhammad and others and yourself, these type of shows, of putting up the cultural collateral, which is like gravity, to put us back into orbit again. We can do business anywhere, but we have to have a beachhead. And we have to have a system that goes far beyond just me being a millionaire or you becoming a millionaire, some little bitty deal, because we have many entertainers that have a lot of money. They don't care if you have a lot of cash, just as long as you don't have a system. If you have $1 million and you got to buy a house from them, a car from them, and everything from them, they already know in a capitalist society, if you have money, you have to spend it. And they just want to control the means of how you spend it. And this is exactly why this Final Call newspaper and what Minister Farrakhan said about Nelson Mandela in South Africa, a beautiful man, but everybody that was around him, just like Obama, the businesses that controlled him, the system that controlled him, was from a certain community. Mostly Jewish community, white Jewish community.
Yeah.
So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said on page 171 of Message to the Black Man that the first step of his program was to separate ourselves from the slave master and then recapture our own market again, $1.3 trillion market that's disorganized and destroyed because of this so-called system of integration and white survivalism. We have to be.
And would you, Brother Lewis, would you repeat that number again? What is the number?
$1.3 trillion that is disorganized and was destroyed mostly by this so-called system of integration. This is why with all the education that we have, all the education and all of these so-called doctors and smart people, we went from owning 21 million acres of land after so-called slavery and owning our own cities and communities to being a bunch of fragmented, integrated people who can't even keep a marriage together, which is the original business.
Yeah, and so that's not what we are talking about. Some issues today. But a lot of the issues that we're talking about tonight are about the successes. And the successes, because you work for yourself, you've got a business, I've got a business, our sister Saraja has a business, and it's a very profitable business. You know, Brother Colin, he has a business. Our sister, she's talking about building businesses for people. And so here we are, maybe disorganized in some ways, but we're earning a living. And the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan says in this article that we need to be trained. You know, he's saying that we have never been trained to succeed. And so we'll grant that argument.
That's right.
We know it. We haven't been trained in so much to business of warfare,
correct,
business of, you know, science. We know it. You know, this is what we live in.
Right.
But today, as business owners who I've worked for myself for 30 years and, you know, others, you as a very successful business builder down in Baton Rouge, Brother Lewis, and, you know, our sisters. So, you know, that is true. I know these are our issues. But tonight, we want to talk about smart business building, aspects of building, developing independent businesses, and give the listeners some idea of how to be empowered. And knowledge is key. So that's, you know, definitely we got to know that we do have an enemy. You know, but right now, want to talk about quality products, how customer service is so important, how meeting the needs of the consumers. We talk about collaboration versus individualism. You know, the sister gave us an excellent, our sister Saraja, she gave us an excellent presentation on the use of technology. You know, and some, I had a brother, Brother Cedric Muhammad, many know him. He talked about how he's known as the hip-hop-preneur. But he said technology levels some of the playing field. You know, we know that it can be used very well with the branding. So Brother Colin talked about business plans and having to know where you're going. So let's go ahead and talk about quality services and products helping the Black community. You know, and again, go right ahead. Yes, ma'am. Does someone have something they want to say? Because really, I did notice something that Sister Saraja said. She talked about how her product also looks at target areas of people having bad skin, and, you know, and they want wholesome and wellness. And we know that this is the time we're living in. So I just think that's so important because we could give our people junk, like Dr. Wesley talking about chasing a bag, you know, give our people junk. Just because we want the money. But, you know, we're loving on our people and giving them quality services. And I just think that's something that we haven't seen as much. Did anybody want to add in? And we do have this. Let me go ahead and open up the conversation because we have a lot of callers in the queue. So let me go ahead and open up the conversation. Right now, I'm just going to go down the line, area code 310. 310, do you have a question or a comment? Yes, area code 310. Assalamu alaikum, you have a question or a comment? Okay, I'm going to come back. Let's see, we have area code 850. Do you have a question or a comment? Assalamu alaikum. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me go back to the next caller. We have 901. Area code 901. Are you with us?
You yes, have a question ma'am. This or... is brother. This is your one and only brother Hoyle.
Oh, assalamu alaikum, brother Hoyle. Thank you. And welcome.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Wow. Brother, you and Brother Lewis and the sister and young sister, oh, you're dropping it, you know. I'm like Brother Lewis. We need to get a system going. You know, family, we're looking at it, like Brother Lewis said, an unraveling right in our face. Everything, Allah said he's going to force us to come together. You know, it's not going to come by a word. It's going to come by a whipping. And we've been so desensitized through, like Brother Lewis said, off of integration, you know, and they work day and night to kill the even will for us to even want to come together. You've talked about your family owning businesses. My grandfather owned businesses. We even lost the will to even shop with each other. That's deep. You know, so
that's right.
The young crowd now, Sister Pam and the Brother Lewis and the audience, they're working on this digital community now. It's more, everything's more digital now, but also We have land, like Brother Lewis said, we have farming, we got food. There's some physical things we're going to need, too. So all of this is a family, you know, if we look at it, I was listening to Brother Akbar when he said he was young and he living in New York. He said the Jews, they cuss, he'd be back there listening when he used to work for them, they cuss each other out and then still be shopping with each other. You know, we're going to have to drop the pettiness and find networks. We're going to have to come together. Allah is going to put us together. I know we're fragmented right now, but not the Prophet Muhammad is running anything. He's running these test pieces. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says he's going to bring the hearts of the fathers to the children. And this is the process. Now, we got to look at it. It wasn't too long ago, family, that Brother Rasul came one time to 55, our mosque. And he said when he was coming up, everything he needed, from underwear to socks to food, groceries, everything was right up there at the mosque. They didn't go to any store.
Yeah.
You know, in the first resurrection. They didn't go to
That's
any
right.
store. So, and we didn't, we're going to have to get back to that. You know, where is the desire for having your bakery or black businesses? You know, in the 70s
That's
and
it.
60s, we had, I mean, it was pride to have a black business, you know, to say that we shop somewhere black. But like I said, integration, they killed the will to take away that, you know, really to destroy our economic stability. So they know, the wise and wickedly wise know, that we're the chosen people, and we're going to have to wake up. We got a man, and I missed Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and us too. Don't count us out. We're out here teaching too, so we're out here with our final call and sister with her show, and, you know, we call in on these talk shows and get out here and warn our people, and we're letting, and they read. Don't think that our people not read. So they see. So we're going to have to make a choice. You know, either we're going to separate or die. So this is a beautiful show, and we're going to separate, love each other, because we're all we got. We're all we got.
That's right.
And what Brother Lewis is doing, what the sisters are doing, this is a start, and I'm learning a whole lot. I'm just sitting here, I marvel at all this knowledge coming out of here. So we got a whole lot of work to do, family. But I love the show. I'm gonna just sit back and listen. This is beautiful. Sister Ava, I know she's listening. She's proud.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Hoyle.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. I'm gonna sit back and listen. Beautiful show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. And if anyone has a question or they would like to make a comment, please press the number 1 to get into the host queue. Because as Brother Hoyle just reminded us, and I think I have to go back to what Sister Saraja brought up. You know, she talked about it was like believing in yourself. And so I have to say this, like, I really like Kathy Hughes as a business model. And I heard her today. She was talking about 5 success tips. And she was saying, believe in God, believe in yourself. You know, God resides in you. She said, believe you can achieve and believe that other individuals will help you. And I think she said something like, believe that you will win. So having that attitude, I think, again, integration destroyed some of that. We didn't believe. We got torn apart, separated, going to these big stores, you know, nobody wanted to do anything for themselves. And I just want to say before I say nothing else, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, another business model. And we know in the 60s or in, you know, maybe a little earlier, the Guarantee Bank that was owned by the nation under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there were stock shelves in your supermarket. There were clothing stores in Chicago. There were schools. Fish import programs, haberdasheries, and all these businesses. So here we are today, and we're looking at a need to build businesses and develop independent businesses. So did anyone want to come right in? I can ask the next question, which would be, you know, how working smart is important in business. Another thing about following your vision to start a business or initiative, you know, what are some of the things you need? I mean, should we even follow our vision? You know, so either of those two questions, because, again, working smart is very important as well.
Hi, can I speak now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this is Charlene. I got kicked off a little while ago, so I'm back on. I wanted to touch on what Sister Saraja was saying about, you know, the small business being, you know, become our babies. You know, we wanted to control everything. I think sometimes entrepreneurs don't know how to let go, and because they can't really afford to hire a new person yet. And this is where, when you build that network out, you get access to people and can work on projects. Like, for example, when I started the Multicultural Chamber, I started it, I was everything, like Saraja was saying. She was everything, doing everything. And as we started to grow, I needed someone to do the social media. I needed someone to manage the website. I needed someone to write content. So I went on all these different sites that would tell me I can hire someone for X amount of dollars. I don't need to hire a full-time employee. But I think that's where we start. You know, as we start to grow our business, we have to understand and learn what we need to let go and how we can let it go so it's cost-effective to us.
Well, thank you so much for that. Did anyone else want to speak on that? Yeah. Yeah, because as you're saying, growing a business, we want to get to this one issue. You know, Brother Lewis and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about some of the myths that had helped us, you know, prevented black people from being successful. And one of these things were about how you can't do business with friends and family. You know, and we talked about how that's such a lie. You know, and now, you know, is that something that any of the call, you know, the panelists want to talk on, you know, some of the perks with actually doing business with those in our closest circles sometimes? I think it's so very important.
I will touch on that. For me, I could not have done what I have done, or I could not have achieved what I have done without the support of my friends and my family, without the access to their skill set and their knowledge to build a business. So when we talk about working with friends and family, I think, you know, sometimes we have to wonder, what does that mean to someone? I work, for me, everything I do is with my friends and family, every single thing I do, because just as I want to achieve success, I want them to achieve success also. So it has worked for me. It has worked for me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do agree. Anyone else want to add to that? Because this whole thing about staffing and, you know, actually trust factors, actually creativity, you know, this is – and even as it talks about creating generational wealth for our children. Someone talked about that at the very beginning. You know, this is what we need. The minister has warned us. One of the reasons why our children aren't the black youth, sometimes we say, go get a job at McDonald's, or why are you not being productive? Well, maybe because we haven't created anything for them.
You talked earlier, and we talked about building black business, but I think the key to successful black business is supporting black business. You know,
yes.
When, for example, in my business, in my arena, the first thing I look for is a business of color to engage with. I think it's so important for us to keep our money within our communities, have it recycled within the community, and the only way we can do that is by supporting the businesses owned by people within the community that look like us. That's it.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister, can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead, Brother Colin.
Yeah, sis, you know, I'm hearing some powerful things here. And, you know, there's like two ways of looking at this, right? For those of us who are Muslims that own businesses, right? We often go into this as Muslims starting a business. But the community often looks at us as it being a Muslim business. And those are two separate things, right? And our business is nothing but, our business culture is nothing but an extension of ourselves, right? So we're taught that our word is bond. We're taught that, you know, we said we're going to do something, we're going to do it. We're not going to be found doing other than what we believe. We're not going to be putting out a product that doesn't represent us, our nation, and our minister, right? We're going to always put the best out. So when it's time now to work with others, it's often very hard to find others who feel that same way. And so as a Muslim who I pray, you know, we put forth our best effort. We try to have integrity. You know, oftentimes we find ourselves trying to network with people outside of the ranks because sometimes you do have to reach out there and you talk to people and you realize, man, we're not on the same page. So you often find yourself doing this by yourself. What I tell believers here in New York all the time is there's so much talent in the house that if we just let people know what we're doing, we'll be surprised how much help is around us. It's right in front of us.
That's right.
And that whole networking thing, sometimes we look to network without when we should be looking to network within. Because I guarantee you, if you tell people that what you're doing, there's somebody in the mosque somewhere that either has done it, desired to do it, or knows someone who can really help you. But I think this is a fascinating conversation, especially when brothers talk about the networking and the community and so forth. You know,
beautiful. Yeah, so we got some callers. I'm going to go right down the line. I'm going to take this caller, 313. Yes, caller, do you have a question or comment?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Ula Bakir. I do have a comment. I do work on my own. I've had my Sister Letty or Sister Ula Bakir's Honey and Spice Delights. I've had this business of baking with honey and all natural ingredients for at least 40 years. And I can understand what she said about trying to get other people to market and to do other projects, because it's very difficult when you're dealing with foods. You have to have people you can trust, and finding the type of people that will do all organic foods and high quality products, you know, it can be difficult to do it all by yourself. So I thank you for allowing me to share. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for that, Sister Ula. And the next caller, I'm going to take caller 281. 281. Yes. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say that is it Brother Colin?
Yes, Brother Colin, attorney.
Brother, that's a very important piece of the puzzle because, man, I found, and I just had wrote this entry in my book today about us being devout Muslims. It's just certain principles that we carry that other people just is not with. And because in case in point, my brother wanted to start a family business, right? So what he did, he wanted to bring us all into this family business. Check this out, y'all. In the family business is breakfast food. It's pork. And this man, knowing I'm not with that for over 38 years, did you want to bring me into a business with pork?
Yes, sir.
Right. Come on.
Yes, sir.
And what I want to say, too, is that really, problem with us now is that we run out of gas all the doggone time. Case in point. The Million Family March. You all remember we had a national agenda. Did you all look at the date on that? I mean, the year on there. It was to last for 8 years, right?
Yes,
So that was in 2000 to 2008. What happened to the national agenda after that?
Yeah, but we're talking about it tonight.
And my point is this here, is that 2008,
yes, sir.
That was the year President Obama got in office.
Yes, sir.
Why didn't we follow
yes,
it
sir.
Up?
Yes, sir.
You
That's
know,
right.
with the business
yes,
and stuff,
sir.
We
well,
we all,
got time now.
Yeah, that,
and,
I'm going to bring that part up.
And yes, sir. And we do. We're going to have to go because we have we got a bunch of people in the queue, and I want
right.
to try to get to some of these people. So, you know, Brother Derek, I appreciate you calling and all of the statements that you're making, always so on point.
Absolutely.
So
yes,
thank
ma'am.
You, sir. Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, 310. We have 310. 310, assalamu alaikum, greetings.
Assalamu alaikum, can you hear me?
Wa alaikum salam,
yes,
yes
ma'am.
Ma'am, we definitely hear you. Yes ma'am, thank you for calling. Yes ma'am, did you have a question or a comment? Okay, we're not hearing you now, sis. Yes,
can
I
you
know
hear me?
I
can
hear
you
now. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Now
we hear you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You can hear me now. So can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am, definitely.
Can
yes.
you hear me? Okay, great. We're with the Ministry of Trade and Commerce here, and this conversation is so necessary. We're going to have to continue it. We've been hosting Zoom meetings for over 2 years now, and it's just now starting to really pick up steam. Once I work in conjunction with the small business development for our people to learn how to contract. And one of the things that we always talk about, this week will be our fourth installment, is structure. And I love what making sure that your business ready. So making sure that you have all of your ducks in a row before you even get out there. I love what the sister said. She said she studied. So I've been a real estate broker for over 40 years, and I'm also a California licensed fiduciary. So I had to study, meaning I studied the business to do it in a different way to make sure that my business thrives. So we can partner with other people. We do have our own personal things, but our businesses out here are beginning to flourish, and I thank Allah for that. And I love when the brother was saying that, how did he put it, cultural collateral, and to have a system. So we're getting to that point. It's so important. I hope that we continue these conversations because we have to spend our money with each other. That's the only way we're going to make it. So that's basically what I wanted to say. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm sorry, sister. What is your name, sister?
My name is Trinitra, and I'm with the
Trinitra.
Ministry of Trade and Commerce here. Yes, mosque number 27. And
okay,
we
beautiful.
Have been going for almost 3 years. Yes.
Thank you so
beautiful.
Much, sister, for calling in. We appreciate you. And the next comment or question, we have 718, please. Do you have a question or comment? 718, welcome. Greetings.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't even realize that I was unmuted. Like
yes, ma'am. I just unmuted you. What, like a salam, ma'am?
This is Sister Siraj's mom.
Oh, wonderful.
And,
yes, ma'am.
Beautiful.
What's your name?
Sister Chantel.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, just congratulations on such a beautiful daughter. She is awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
praise be to Allah. I just wanted to chime in just regarding the aspect of us working together in family. And I'm just going to make this really, really brief, but I came into the nation as a teenager, and my grandparents were entrepreneurs. So as my children were raised, that's what they saw growing up. They saw me as an entrepreneur. They never experienced me punching a clock, having a 9-to-5, and things like that.
That's right.
So I have to say that Sister Dr. Ava has always been an inspiration for me when it came to teaching your children, and they're learning best by learning from you at home. And so when we, you know, I joke a lot and say that things don't happen by osmosis, but many things do. And so I think one of the things that we should really take a close look at is what the example is, so that we're not backtracking, you know, every 20, 30 years trying to figure out how to fix the problem. When we start with the base, and our community has to start within our households, and we give our children the things, you know, the skills and the knowledge that we have, it makes it a lot easier when we talk about building communities, because now it's something that comes very natural to them. And I run, I'm the CEO of the company. Our family, you know, it's us, and then we have other employees, you know, that run, that do customer service and that are producing and things like that. But as far as executives are concerned, you know, it's us. And so I have finance and business, and these are things that I've been able to pass on because it's a mindset. It's not always the book knowledge that they're going to acquire first. It's just what are the natural things that they're being taught at home, and then does that look like now? You know, so I have two generations of children, and all had an opportunity and a blessing to be able to be in an environment where they know that we just do for self, and it's not a thing. You know, it's not a title, it's not a soundbite. It's just, it's all they know. They don't know anything else.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Right.
Well, may Allah continue to bless you and your beautiful
may
family,
I,
sister. And thank you for calling in.
May I make a comment?
Brother Lewis. Yes.
That caller was so powerful because of what she said about her family. And that's really, again, marriage is a business. It's the original business, and family is a business. And the thing of it is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that mediocrity will not be tolerated. And the minister said black excellence destroys white supremacy. He was in Texas when he said that, actually. And Mr. Bill Allen says that excellence at a minimum. So if we practice excellence and then highlighting our victories, like, I'm so proud of you for bringing on our young sister and the people that are on this to highlight their businesses. And we should talk up our victories rather than always talking about our failures. Because when we talk about our victories, thought is very contagious. And it would allow us to begin to move into close proximity to one another so that we can build our communities up. I mean, Dr. Ava always says something. I love to hear her say it. And she usually says it before we get off the phone. She said, remember, we are the winners, Brother Lewis. We're the winners.
That's right.
And so black people got to get out
of
this
habit,
especially black men who are supposed to be the protectors and providers for women, of always walking around like we're losers and like we never won anything. We got to start having cultural collateral builds cultural confidence in order to seal our identity that we're God's chosen people. And we were on the bottom, but we're on our way to the top to build a new world and a new reality. We are the winners, and we should act like
it. That's right.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And thank you so much for that comment, Brother Lewis. I'm going to take this next caller. But I have to say, you know, as I'm listening to you, I think of my dad, and I think of the hard work sometimes black men do perform. And when that happens, you know, there's that natural, I think, inclination to make the warnings. To, you know, I think of my husband and, you know, how he's tired sometimes. We think of our fathers, our grandfathers, so we get it. And so this is why coming together as a family, you know, because the black man and woman together and the black man with all his power is, you know, the family, the children, like the sister, Sister Saraja's mother just beautifully dropped how she raised her children to do exactly what they're doing under these teachings. So let me go ahead and take this last caller, and then we'll be closing out. We have a 337. Yes. As-salamu alaykum. Question or comment?
Alaykum as-salam.
Yes. Yes, sir. Who's calling? Thank you for calling in.
Oh, yeah, my name is Corey out here in Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to comment. I wanted to comment that that sacrifice is going to be required in order for us to truly have this cultural at 100%. And when I say sacrifice, what I mean is I heard the brother mention that, you know, his family opened up a business, you know, that sells pork, you know, and, you know, sometimes sacrifice is going to be required. You know, although his family knows that he doesn't eat pork, they open up a business that sells pork, but he might have to make the sacrifice of not touching or not being around the pork, and his family might have to make the sacrifice of taking care of the pork side of the business so that everybody can work together. Also, my main point is that what I see a lot from our people is that because we've attached ourselves to the European ideology and to the Eurocentric foods, or the Eurocentric habits, the Eurocentric products, is that sometimes we feel like, you know, if we detach ourselves from that, we're going to miss out on so much. When in reality, I feel that we have enough black businesses now in this country, in our cities, in our states, to where we can actually, we can rid ourselves of European commerce completely and focus only on the businesses that are owned by our people. And if that requires sacrifice, you might have to adapt your diet a little bit. You might have to adapt what type of car you have. You might have to sacrifice, you know, a few things in order to truly, you know, buy black only. In the long term, I think the sacrifice, and I'm speaking to myself, of course, as well, the sacrifice is going to be worth it, but a lot of time in my life, previous life, I've even not made the sacrifice. And so, you know, I could have done this. I could have bought from this black business only and made the sacrifice of not having this particular delicate, you know, this delicate, this food or that food. You know, we, and
yes,
a lot
sir.
Of people who don't have, a lot of people who don't have the discipline of a spiritual practice, they cannot see past, you know, not buying European materials. So we have to change the mindset of saying that, hey, listen, it doesn't matter. You got to go find our black businesses. If you haven't heard of it, you got to go find it. If you don't know that black farmer 20 miles down the road, you got to go find that black farmer and buy only his stuff. You got to find the black store, buy only their stuff. You know, and if we make those necessary sacrifices, the outcome is inevitable. But because we are not accustomed to making that sacrifice, because we are saying that, oh well, I can't live without this, or I can't function without this, you know, we sell ourselves short because we're not willing to make those true sacrifices that might hurt a little bit, even inside of our home. And I feel like moving forward, making those sacrifices, those personal, intimate sacrifices,
sir.
You know, without that, it's going to be a little harder to get to the promised land. Thank you for your time. And thank
you're
you
so right.
Speak.
No, thank you. Thank you for that comment. And we're actually down. Sister Judge Nichelle, you've been quiet tonight. I know thought-provoking conversation. If you want to add something
on,
in, we have one more caller.
As we close
but,
out.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, we can take the caller, and if I can take 1 minute after the call is done, that would be fine.
No, I think they're not. No, go right ahead. I think they're okay. Go.
Yes, ma'am. All praises. Well, first of all, it's a beautiful thing to hear when the gods are talking to one another. So I just want to say, bringing it full circle, you know, we are taught in the nation, as we know, that we were not taught the art of war, the art of myth, nor the art of business. And so tonight we're talking about that art of business. And we know that we have the supreme when the most Elijah Muhammad was here and how our business has flourished. So there is a spiritual context to businesses doing well in this dispensation of time, relying on God. The minister talks about in an article about how we have to rely on Allah and do for self. We see the government and their systems falling and crumbling, and that should be the impetus to us to go out and do for self. And there's a spiritual, but there's also the pragmatic or the actual piece. And so when I hear these thoughts conversing with one another, talking from the spiritual context, from the business context, from the pieces that we could add in terms of Sister Charlene Dixon and what she's doing for black businesses and trying to keep them targeted.
Yes,
Sister Naraz and her own business. This is a beautiful conversation that needs a little bit more, but I'm thankful to Allah that as we prophesy among the bones, they're starting to rattle and shake and understand
that's
that we have to do for self. And so I thank Allah for all the participants, what they add, what they do for us to get to where we need to be, which is purely the black man and woman on top where we should be. It's going to be separation whether we like it or not, but it's going to be separation with thriving businesses where our unity is like an atomic bomb. And we're going to own and control a lot of good stuff in the spirit of Allah. So I thank participants this evening. And the art of business is essential. And I'm glad that we're starting to get on it.
Having this conversation. Praise. All praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much, Sister Judge Nichelle. And I want to thank the panel tonight, Brother Louis Ali from the South, our sisters Shiraja Muhammad with Little Herbs Company. You can go online. Beautiful, beautiful company, Little Herbs Co., as in company. Our sister Charlene A. Nixon, thank you so much for all your wonderful, wonderful solutions and business plan. And it was just beautiful, sister, having you here. Brother Attorney Colin, I want to thank you for stopping by and just kind of giving us some of your wisdom. And all of the callers, thank you all so very much for calling and giving your points. As you know, this is a very important topic. I just am so thankful. And I want to thank you all for listening to the Elevated Places Network Presents a Time for Justice. Of course, we want to urge everyone to listen to previous shows. You can go to our website on Blog Talk Radio, The Elevated Places. I want to thank Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad for the Elevated Places Network. I want to thank Sister Tiffany Muhammad, who is a producer.
You,
she serves
sister.
As a producer
right.
for us. I want to thank Sister Judge Nichelle, who is the co-host. I want to thank my executive producer, which is our Sister Samaya Muhammad. She's another youth. She usually does the calls for us. But this conversation just was so hot. It got out. We were going. So we took calls tonight. But thank you, Sister Samaya, for your sacrifice. And again, passing the torch and preparing future generations for leadership. That is an article in the final call, the August 30th. 2022 final call, and we just have to read that as the beautiful cover is about the Joshua generation, and we certainly had some beautiful wisdom coming from our sisters this evening. So again, thank you all once again for listening, and I will say tune in next week for more informative discussions. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
alaikum salam. All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Louis, Brother Colin, Sister Naraj, Sister Charlene Nixon. What a beautiful, beautiful panel of God sitting around and talking with one another. Praise be to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.